Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Acts chapter 25. What is that one thing that you can't say no to? That irresistible thing that all anyone has to do is offer it to you, and they can lead you like the Pied Piper to do whatever they want? Maybe it's a fresh baked pie or frappuccino. You're a sucker for it, and everyone around you knows it. If they want you to go somewhere or do something, they dangle it in front of you like a carrot on a stick. We call that a button, and everyone has one. You just need to know where it is and when to push it for someone. Well, today in Acts 25, Paul finds Agrippa's button and pushes it. Paul had just been through a bogus court case in Jerusalem and has to be smuggled into Caesarea for his own safety. Festus, who has replaced Felix as the Roman governor in Jerusalem, comes up to Caesarea to hear Paul's case. We're told in verse 3 that the Jewish leaders travel up to Caesarea where Paul is being kept for his safety, for fear that the Jewish mob will kill him. Under the care of Festus, another corrupt politician like Felix before him, he's no safer here than anywhere. Festus wants to do the Jewish leaders a favor, so he tries to maneuver Paul to be tried in Jerusalem to make them happy. Let's jump into verse 3 and see why that was dangerous. They requested Festus as a favor to them to have Paul transferred to Jerusalem, for they were preparing an ambush to kill him along the way. Festus answered, "Paul is being held at Caesarea, and I myself am going there soon. Let some of your leaders come with me, and if this man has done anything wrong, they can press charges against him there." Remember that button? If Festus had a button, it's trying to manipulate others to advance himself. That was his go-to hobby or pleasure. He couldn't resist manipulating people. He's gotten to where he is by advancing himself through scheming and playing people. In some ways, it wasn't winning that mattered. It was the game of manipulation itself. Outmaneuvering others, that was his button. "Hey, Festus, good luck playing chess with God there." "Yeah, good luck." If Festus can transfer Paul back down to Jerusalem, he knows Paul will never make it there. That'd be a win-win. Festus pleases the bloodthirsty Jews, advancing himself, while the Jewish leaders put Paul in a body bag. Festus is about to have that button pushed until Paul makes his defense and outfoxes them all. Verse 8. Then Paul made his defense. "I've done nothing wrong against the Jewish law or against the temple or against Caesar." Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there on these charges?" Paul answered, "I am now standing before Caesar's court, where I ought to be tried. I have not done any wrong to the Jews, as you yourself know very well. If, however, I am guilty of doing anything deserving death, I do not refuse to die. But if the charges brought against me by these Jews are not true, no one has the right to hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar." After Festus had conferred with his council, he declared, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you will go." Paul had a button, but it was a very different type of button than Festus had. His button has "eject" printed on it in bold letters. Paul pushes the button of Roman citizenship, ejecting him out of danger. You see, every Roman by law can appeal to Caesar directly, like pushing an ejector seat, saying, "I appeal to Caesar." It gets them sent to Rome automatically. Paul pushes that button. He knows Festus can't resist his offer to appeal to Caesar as a Roman citizen, but appealing to Caesar is a risky game, though. Caesar is often annoyed by people wasting his time by appealing to him, and often executes them just for having the impotence to appeal to him directly. So Paul shows no fear. He said, "I'm willing to die." No fear in pushing that button and ejects himself safely out of danger. But in a way, this still works for Festus. You could almost say this is a twofer. Now Paul will go to Caesar, who will probably kill him, and he's pleased the Jews and gotten Paul off his hands. Festus leans back in his chair, closing his eyes in the warm Mediterranean sun, feeling proud of himself that things are working out so well for him. But before he ships Paul out, he gets some visitors, but not just any visitors. These looky-loos are people of import who want to peek in on this unique prisoner. Verse 13. A few days later, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived at Caesarea to pay their respects to Festus. Since they were spending many days there, Festus discussed Paul's case with the king. He said, "There is a man here whom Felix left as a prisoner. When I went to Jerusalem, the chief priests and elders of the Jews brought charges against him and asked that he be condemned. I told them that it is not the Roman custom to hand over anyone before they face their accusers and have had an opportunity to defend themselves against the charges. When they came here with me, I did not delay the case, but convened the court the next day and ordered the man to be brought in. When his accusers got to speak, they did not charge him with any of the crimes I had expected. Instead, they had some points of dispute with him about their own religion, about a dead man named Jesus, who Paul claimed was still alive. I was at a loss on how to investigate such matters, so I asked if you'd be willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial there on these charges. But when Paul made his appeal to be held over for the emperor's decision, I ordered him held until I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, 'I'd like to hear this man myself.'" Festus can't just send him to Caesar. He's got to make it sound good. If he doesn't embellish the case and make it look like a tough case that only Caesar can answer, Festus is worried it will make Caesar think Festus can't handle smaller cases, that he's an ineffective ruler. What to do? What to do? Agrippa's visit comes just in time, like it was meant to be. Festus, a Roman, can quiz the Jewish king, Herod Agrippa, on why the Jews are still so upset with Paul that they want to kill him. He still doesn't completely get it. After all, there's no crime, no violence. It's only the things that Paul says that seem to get him into trouble with the Jewish leaders. And Paul is going to keep saying those kinds of things. So Festus thinks, maybe I can let him say those kinds of things to Agrippa. Listener, are you seeing a pattern? The longer Paul is locked up, the more he keeps preaching the gospel to powerful people, hard to reach people, people who never got to hear the gospel in full before. Paul has to be shaking his head every night, replaying the day's events every time he gets to share the gospel with yet another general, commander, governor, king, or power player. And King Agrippa is one bad dude. Herod Agrippa, the grandson of Herod the Great, who massacred the innocents back in the Gospels. The one who felt directly threatened by the prophecy of Jesus when the wise men brought him word of the true King of Israel. And here's Paul, preaching that same King Jesus that caused his granddad to do the unthinkable. Paul's in prison for stating that this king, Jesus, rose from the dead. Agrippa too has a button, but more on that next chapter. Festus promises to let King Agrippa hear Paul personally, and thus begins the pageant of pomp and making things seem more important than they really are, starting in verse 23. The next day, Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp and entered the audience room with the high-ranking military officers and the prominent men of the city. At the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Festus said, "King Agrippa, and all who are present with us, you see this man. The whole Jewish community has petitioned to me about him in Jerusalem and here in Caesarea, shouting that he ought not to live any longer. I found that he had done nothing deserving of death, but because he made his appeal to the emperor, I decided to send him to Rome. But I have nothing definite to write to his majesty about him. Therefore, I have brought him before all of you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that, as a result of this investigation, I may have something to write. For I think it unreasonable to send a prisoner on to Rome without specifying the charges against him." Okay, I hope you smiled to yourself as you read that last bit, because it's meant to be funny. The pomp, the pageantry, the tucking in of fat tummies and striding around the room with their big boy pants jacked up high and mighty. We heard in the backroom conversation earlier where Festus needs Agrippa to help him out of his jam. He needs Agrippa to push the button for him. But Agrippa, his button is looking important in front of people. Never forget, people are always fronting. Most people want to look good in front of others after all. The cars, the clothes, the money, the social media. But it's all a front. Because, my friend, everyone has that button. The thing they really want deep down. The thing they really need. But the thing they really need is to love and be loved by God. It's not always on the surface, but usually hidden deep down underneath that other stuff. But when you've been around just a little bit, you learn to read people, and so you wait. Just like Paul is doing, until he stands in front of Agrippa, and when he does, he'll push Agrippa's buttons, and Festus's too, just like he did Felix's. Because there's someone else who has your number, my friend. He knows how you're wired. He knows you better than yourself. And yes, he knows just where your button is, the button of your deepest needs and wants. And he knows just how to push it.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.